Good morning, everybody. My name is Emily. I am here recovering from sugar addiction. And as many of you know on this meeting, I am a teacher, and that shows up no matter what I'm doing. So like I was saying, I am a teacher, and so that's going to show up here too. So most of us take notes during the meeting, but if you could open a note on your phone or get a piece of paper and pen, there's going to be a little bit of an interactive piece to this. So the first question that I'm going to ask you is becoming it's three times that to come up with a word or a phrase. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds each time. And so the way that I usually talk is like the normal format of what was it like, what happened, and what is it like now. And so the first question I want you to think about, as I pondered as well, is what was it like before you came in these rooms? So come up with a word or a phrase that sums that up for you. And I'm going to give you that time to go ahead and write that down or think about that. Okay. For me, my word is stuffed. And Judy, if you could show the first picture. I don't have any pictures for like this is right before I came into program. I'm going to talk a little bit more about my journey to get there. But this is, I think I came started going to meetings in January. This is December. And then if you want to show the second one, and that is, I actually had been in program for about a month. So you don't need to glorify that, but that's where I was. So happy, but a little heavier. Okay, so I am 5 years abstinent and have been maintaining 120-pound weight loss for 4 years, just to get the numbers out of the way. Just to let you know that I'm in the right place. I've had a pretty strong relationship with food my whole life. I remember the first time I ate sugar. I was in the back of the kindergarten bus, and our bus driver gave us an Easter goodie. And I remember the color of this Easter goodie. I remember what it tasted like when it hit my tongue. It was like the world exploded. And then I was off to the races. I remember buying a big package of sugary things with my first babysitting money, and my family came home and I hid them under the couch. I remember when I went away to work at my first summer camp, and there was a, it's hard to talk about without mentioning actual food. They were making a type of sandwich for lunch, and I went through the line 12 times, and I ate 12 of those particular sandwiches for lunch. When I was living on my own, I would buy frozen salted things that you cook in the oven, and I would eat an entire bag. I could eat a whole half gallon of frozen things. And I think the thing that really, the food that really got me was a family-sized box of these sugary things. And I will tell you that this one story, I was waiting for a therapy session, and I went into our local Dollar General, bought a family size of these goodies, and I literally do not remember anything. I remember shutting the door of the car, and I came to, and there were just crumbs everywhere, just everywhere. And there were six left in the package because, in my mind, if there were still six left in the family size package, then I was not overeating. I don't know how that equated in my mind, but if there were six left, then somehow I was okay. As an adult, I was also restless. I moved a lot. As an adult, I've lived in New York, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Indiana, Florida, Alaska, back to Florida, South Carolina, and now I'm in New York, and I'm not at any branch of the military. Those were all job moves because I was also trying to settle the restlessness I felt in my spirit through moves, because I thought this like stuffed feeling, like I kept trying to stuff down all my feelings. That's what I always wanted to do, was just to stuff down all my feelings, because my feelings were big. I had been told that since I was, little. It was always calm down, quiet down, you're too loud, just, so I was always trying to calm down. And the only other thing that I wanted to say about what it was like for me is that my sister got really sick. She almost died when I was 8. And I've recently discovered like how much that changed my life. Because my parents disappeared like down the sick kid hole. And I was basically on my own. And for me, being on my own from 8, I told myself a story that the world was scary, and that I was on my own. And I was trying to stuff down that feeling too. Because, as an 8-year-old telling myself that story, I just never like trying to hide from that. So that's what the stuffed for me was. It was like just stuffing down the feelings, stuffing down being afraid. So yeah, I don't want to spend a lot of time in that area, but I just wanted you to know that I'm one of that belong in this room, let me tell you. Okay. So the next question is, what happened? Why are you here? Word or phrase that, why are you here? Like, what brought you in the rooms? What would be a word or phrase for that? Give you some time. Okay. For me, the word that I came up with was two words, and that is tipped over. Because, like I said, I was stuffed. And the bummer for me about this disease is that it shows up physically on my skeleton. So I could see it. And I was the January before the pandemic, I was in a therapy session. And I remember I had not yet figured out how to do a hide self view. And I would take this little square of cardboard and just like hide my picture because I just could not stand to look at myself. And I didn't think anything of it. But my therapist said, there's this group called Overeaters Anonymous. And I was flabbergasted. I had no idea. I had been on the diet train. You guys all know about the diet train my whole life. And I did not know that Overeaters Anonymous existed. And in January, I went to an online meeting in Ohio. I went on Sundays for a couple of months. And then somebody in the meeting said, excuse me. How do I get a sponsor? And the guy wisely said, call your local intergroup and have them recommend somebody locally. I did that. I got a sponsor and she led me to local-ish meetings. One of the things that's interesting about me is that I have 5 years of abstinence and I've been to three in-person meetings. Two of which have been in the last 6 weeks. I've done my recovery completely online because where I live, it's an hour and a half to get to an in-person meeting. I haven't, anyway. But that wisdom in that meeting to find a sponsor, my sponsor lives an hour and a half away, but she led me to Zoom meetings that were in person so that I actually could meet my sponsor and make some friends that are not so far away from me. So that's what I mean. Like I tipped over. Like there wasn't like this great like come to Jesus moment where I like came into program, like drunk on food. And it wasn't like that. And sometimes I can get like feeling some kind of way about that. Like it's not some dramatic, like I said, Moses on the mountaintop kind of thing. But it just was what it was. Like a therapist mentioned it to me. I came in the room, and the first time someone opened their mouth, I'm like, oh my God, thank God I'm home. Like these are my people. They speak my language. I get it. Yeah. So, okay. Now, in my opinion, of the three questions, this is the most important one. I want you to take 30 seconds and figure out where you are now, right now. Let yourself, I'm going to do this too. Catch up with myself and figure out where I am, what word sums up where I am right now in program. I honestly just had the thought of just like giving up the rest of my time so we could just write and think about that. Not that I don't always have stuff to say because I do. But I wanted to take the rest of my time and talk about what it's like now, because to me, that's what matters, is how I'm living my life now. I just want to, first of all, just talk about what I've been through in the 5 years that I've been in program. And I'm only saying this as hope for anybody that might be going through it right now, that abstinence and program is sustained, can be sustained through almost anything. So, in the 5 years that I've been here, my dad died. I took an intense series of state, everyone in this, some people in this room have been with me through all of this. My dad died. I took a series of very challenging state exams and courses to get certified as a teacher. My school district created a job for me. While that was going on, I had chronic debilitating head pain because my CSF, my brain fluid, was leaking and my brain was resting on my skull. True story. And I had to have brain surgery. I was in this meeting 2 hours before I had brain surgery. 100% true story. My daughter went away to college. Currently, my school is merging with another school, which was, until like 2 days ago, was months of jobs insecurity. I currently have the Epstein-Barr virus, a severe version of it, which is like mono on steroids. And 2 months into recovery, I found out that my daughter had been sexually abused. So I tell you all of that not because I'm like some super, like, because, oh, woe is me, opposite of that. It's more that without program, most of those things would have laid me out flat. I also, my sister was my best friend, and she broke my heart. And again, if you've been on this meeting for any length of time, you've heard the story. She called me one day and basically broke up with me. And she lives a half a mile down the street, and we worked together. And at that time, we had classrooms right across the hall from each other, shared students. My daughter was in her chorus, like the we were. And the only way I could do that were due to two things. One was an evolving relationship with my higher power, and one day at a time. I am absolutely, language warning, fucking screwed without one day at a time. Like, if I don't stay in this moment right now, forget it. I am going to pick up, because if you tell me that I'm not going to have those sugary little darlings in that package ever again, I'm going to tell you to get out. Like, stop talking to me and get out. I just can't. I just can't with a never for me personally, but I can do it today. I can say I'm not going to eat it today. And I'm probably not going to eat it ever again, but I'm not going to tell myself that. I also can, come on this meeting and say, okay, in 2 hours, I'm going to have brain surgery. I'm not having brain surgery today. I mean, right now, I'm gonna, in a minute, I'm gonna go take a shower and get dressed and go to work where my sister is. Like, I can do it if I'm like in the moment. And I'm at the point where I don't even say do the next right thing. I say do the thing. Because if I even think about the next right thing, sometimes I, again, it's gonna lay me out flat. So I have to like do the thing. When I was in program about a year, when I got to step two, the like figure out your higher power thing, I had a strong faith. I served in a particular faith for 20 years. And so when I got to like the higher power stuff, I'm like, oh, I got this licked. Told my sponsor, eh, skip. So I told you that I found out about my daughter's abuse. When I found out, I got really angry. And then it went underground. Well, a year later, it surfaced. And then I was like, I got so mad at my higher power. I remember where I was and I was like raging. I had to like totally start over. And I want to fast forward because my eyes are on the time and this is really important to me. I want to show you now where my temple is. So can you show that photo, Judy? Okay. And the next one, please. That's my higher power. You can take those down, Miss Judy. Thank you. I heard, I mean, it's probably more nuanced than that, but like even my concept of my higher power, I'm putting this together actually right this minute, was stuffed. Like it was this, I don't know, complicated. And now it's just like, I don't know, it's just in like in the doing the thing, like it's in this moment. It's like, in the fact that I kind of feel like I'm doing a shitty job right now, but and at the same time, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, this is my journey. It just, like, normally in the past, when I've done these talks, I've had it written out, thought over, it's been perfect. This time, I got a page full of mess. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. I'm like, I'm gonna show up and let my higher power. So, my higher power is about being outside. It's about fresh air. About trying to listen to my intuitive thoughts, that my higher power is like as the fresh air comes in and the stale air goes out. If I have a God, I can understand it's not big enough. And the other thing I wanted to say is that every time for me that I write down my food and I send it to my sponsor, that's where freedom starts for me. Every time I weigh and measure my food, when I first heard that, I was like, again, language warning, fuck that. I'm not weighing and measuring my food. I'm not. I'm just not gonna do it. The minute I started doing it, my head calmed down and I got quiet. I know that doesn't sound sexy. Like, my life's not perfect. I have so much mess in it right now. I mean, it's still messy. I was like crying before the meeting because I've got stuff going on. But I know what to do about it now. And I just want to end with saying, when I was typing in the numbers to get into this meeting this morning, I thought to myself, how many times have I typed in those numbers? I've been coming to this meeting for 3.5, 4 years, and I am so grateful to the people who have kept this room running over those years. This room has been an unbelievable huge part of my life. And I guess final thoughts is that if you are new or you are struggling, you can show up with your ugly here because I certainly have done it, and you will be loved. I will end with this. And the phrase, we will love you until you can love yourself, is 100% true here. So, and just, it's really hard for my ego when people talk about me. So if we could follow that rule about not, like, the thing, that would be great. I'd appreciate it. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.